Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisory firm. Price Financial Group has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investment and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations may vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial program with a certified financial planner, estate planning attorney, and a certified public accountant to answer your questions for free. Got a tough estate, tax, or financial problem keeping you up at night? You can call the show right now at 503-222-9700. That's 503-222-9700. Long distance and podcast listeners can call toll free at 800-344-5836. Coming to you live from Portland, Oregon, and broadcast on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
We do Investing Simplified.
Welcome into Investing Simplified. However you're listening to us, thanks for making us a part of your day. As a reminder, as we navigate this COVID-19 claustrophobic, stir-crazy, stay-at-home sort of situation, is you can get our show replayed on podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, that's Apple Music, iTunes, and the like. We also post it to our website, www.pfgwm.com, if you want to listen there. If you're listening live, you can actually listen on investingsimplifiedradio.com and ask your questions there via chat. We are still navigating through this COVID-19 issue, and we're not able to take phone calls right now. But if you have a question that you'd like covered on the radio, make sure to give my office a call, 503-253-3000, or send me an email at askbo, that's A-S-K-B-O, at pfgwm.com. Now, I know a lot of folks have been wondering, as we're traveling through this, if you're a longtime listener, you know that we have an estate attorney and a CPA here on the radio to answer your questions. And I'm really excited to announce that next week we're going to have Taylor Cattell on for at least a couple of segments to ask your estate planning questions. So if you have some questions about your specific situation, make sure to shoot me that email at askbo@pfgwm.com. Still working on when Kevin can come in, because as tax season has been extended through July 15th, he's probably going to be busy for quite a while, and hopeful that we can get back into the studio soon and take your calls, take your live calls, and answer those questions. So the thing that I really wanted to talk about this week, and a lot of times we talk about in our open, is the market, right? And what a roller coaster the market has been on, and it continues. I talked last week a little bit about, hey, you know, it's kind of crazy. We've settled down to a more normal movement, and then this week just blew that out of the water, both to the upside and to the downside. But particularly on Friday, when the market ended down so much that it lost all its weekly gains when you're looking at the overall stock market. And I'll tell you, this actually makes me comfortable. Now, let me tell you why. One of the things that's really been bugging me about the stock market so far is that it's been propped up, right? We get this news about more people going on unemployment. We've lost all the jobs that we gained since the Great Recession. Basically, in a month period of time, we lost all the gains that we had created since the Great Recession. Let me just repeat that. All of the jobs. Now, they're different jobs, right? So don't get me wrong that there are not jobs out there. But all those jobs that we added, we had record low unemployment. The economy was humming. And then this virus hits. Bam. Gone. So we've got this virus that's come in, and the virus takes out everything. We've got the jobs down, and yet the market was ripping upwards, right? Every time a jobs report would come back, it felt like for the last couple of weeks, the market was, you know, hitting new highs for the week. It was up 3-4% sometimes. So that seems like a really high, fast snapback movement for me, especially when the news is so grim, right? We just hear one thing about Gilead Sciences' remdesivir drug, and the thing about it is that news isn't even, I mean, it's great. I'm excited. I'm excited if they found a therapeutic that actually works. But folks, that trial hasn't been peer-reviewed yet. that trial said, hey, statistically insignificant improvement. Now it's improvement, and I feel better that there's an option out there in case I contract the virus and need to be hospitalized. I like that idea that there is a therapeutic that at least shows some improvement, hypothetically. But the thing about it is that made the market just go crazy. The week before, when Gilead reported worse than expected test results, the Gilead went down. And it just, it's crazy how fast the movement has gone. But for me, to see the market come back down after a jobs report that's lackluster, to see the market come down when oil prices are so low, to see the market come back down when we have some bad news makes more sense to me. I think that there's no way from a perspective of the market pricing that we should be at a level that we're at. Now, I don't know, right, because the market is so much more news-driven these days than it is fundamentally driven, particularly when we have companies that pull their guidance. They can't talk about the earnings that they think they're going to have or they won't. But when earnings come out and there's an earnings miss like Amazon, or when there's earnings miss like Microsoft or Facebook has, you know, fewer than expected earnings, the stock should go down conceivably, right? And then the other thing that happens, if we look at just a price perspective, the markets seem too expensive. They seem too high price considering where we're actually earning money. I just mentioned there's 20-something million people unemployed. Nobody is going out. Nobody's spending money. We are a consumer-driven economy. And as we come out of this, when we're released back into the wild, as it were, released back to spend, that age 65 plus demographic, those folks that are the most at risk, you know, the high risk demographic for the virus, they may not go back to spending as fast as some of the younger folks. And the thing about it is that demographic, that baby boomer demographic, which is the largest demographic in our country, still accounts for a lot of that spending in our economy. Now, of course, you know, companies like Clorox and Kroger and, you know, those companies that have been providing these essential services have done really well. But now you're starting to see strikes maybe happen at those places and, you know, seeing the post office talk about strikes because they don't want to be at work when nobody else has to. I personally think if they're letting people go back to work or making people go back to work, then I think Congress should be forced to work. That's just my own personal opinion. And I think we could cover a lot of this debt that they're taking on by maybe eliminating some of the benefits that Congress gets for sitting on their rears and not working. But that's just me, right? But the thing about it is we've been adding debt by the boatload because the Federal Reserve has basically said, we are going to prop up the economy, right? They said, we are going to prop it up so it doesn't go down. And while I'm not opposed to intervention and I'm not opposed to helping those people that need help, it's created this false sense of security in the equity markets. When you really look, there's going to be a comeuppance. I got to believe it, folks. Chuck had been calling that we'd been overpriced for a while, and he was right, at least for now, it seems, right? Now, we don't know when. I don't know when that's going to happen. And I can't control what the market does. But I really think, folks, that this is too high of a market, and it you need to take a look at how risk-balanced you are, what your allocations are, how much risk you have in the market, and whether that's the right amount of risk to take. Also, if you think the market's going to rip higher, then great. You know, keep that money super allocated to equities. But if you didn't notice, I think a lot of people are getting this fear of missing out. A lot of people are talking about, we should have been invested in the market. I'm going to buy in now, right near the top. I think that there will be other opportunities to buy. You see these talking heads on the television that say, you got to buy these dips now. This is a buying opportunity of a lifetime. And it really might be. But I really don't believe that it's over, that buying opportunity is over. And the thing that I've talked to a couple of clients when they're asking about stocks and which stocks to buy, what to buy into, my recommendation is always dollar cost averaging. I really believe in the dollar cost averaging philosophy. The idea is, hey, if you're going to put a full position in, let's put a quarter of what we were going to get to over the next, you know, 4 weeks. So if you were going to have a $10,000 position in JP Morgan, buy $2,500 of it this week and buy it next week and then buy it the following week, because you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. Now, if it drops 25 or 30%, if Boeing drops to $90 and you think, hey, that stock is on a severe sale, okay, then go ahead and get, you know, positioned in it. But be ready for it to go down further. Because that's the thing about stocks. That's the thing about the market, is it can always go down further, right? And particularly when we have these measures in place that have been propping it up, what happens when the earnings actually come out, when these companies report and they say, hey, nobody's coming in and shopping here. Nobody is using our services. Our revenue is down because of this enforced slowdown. That's going to be a real problem, right? So the thing is, don't rely too much on, hey, the market's doing great, I should be investing all in stocks. You want to make sure that you have a risk allocation that makes sense for you and consider rebalancing it now, right? If you're thinking, oh man, so I went way down when the market went way down, but now it's come back a long ways and you're feeling pretty good about where you're at. Let's do an analysis right now on where you're at and what that's going to mean going forward if the market does drop again. Because folks, historically, 3 to 4 years, every 3 to 4 years, we have a bear market like this. We haven't had one in a long time. We had this bull market run that went forever. And I would postulate that we haven't seen the worst of this particular bear market. We went down. This was a blip, you know, like a blip in time, 35, 37%, whatever it went down exactly. A blip in time, and it's ripped back. But it always takes longer to get back to where you were before, let alone, you know, keep going higher. And so if you have a portfolio that is exposed to too much risk, you could be losing 40, 50% of that as the market continues to fall, if it continues to fall. And behaviorally, as humans, and I am subject to it too, as human beings, we are always, always better equipped to deal with missing out on the upside than we are to getting more downside than we expected. So if you went into this thinking, no, my portfolio is great and I'm just ripping and I'm doing really well, 2019 is the best year ever, then poop, in a couple of weeks, gone. Right? Because 30% down when you're higher is a bigger portion than 30% up when you started earlier. And then, let's take that into effect, when it rips back 30%, it's 30% from a smaller amount. So the big key is when you're looking at your investments, when you're looking at investing in these the volatile markets that we have, is you got to have a realistic expectation for what your returns can be, for what your risk is, and focus on what you can control. At Price Financial Group, we focus on what we can control, and that's the amount of risk that we're taking, right? Because the idea is if we operate from that control period, we know based on 40, 50 years of data, right? Chuck's been doing this for 50 years till he retired this year. We know that we can control risk and have an outcome that we expect. And if that fits our expectations, then great. Then you don't have to watch the market every day. You don't have to worry about what's happening on a day-to-day basis because we're long-term investors. And that's the biggest, biggest key. Have a strategy. Have a plan. Stick with that strategy. Because you're going to talk to advisors all over the place that say, oh man, look at how my portfolio did over the last 3 months. I'll have clients ask me, how did your portfolios hold up? And I'll tell them, because I'm going to be real, right? We're going to be honest about what things did as people are exploring utilizing our services. But the thing that I can tell you is what happened the last 3 months is not what's going to happen over the next three. What happened over the last 5 years is not what's going to happen over the next 5 years, right? So everything can change. So we got to control what we can control. And at Price Financial Group, we believe that that's the risk, right? We control the risk that we're taking. If you want a complementary risk analysis about where you're at, just to get an idea and show you where you're at, and we can show you what we might do if it was us, give our office a call, 503-253-3000. I'm going to take a break there, and we'll be back with more Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000. You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Thanks for sticking with us as we all try to navigate this new world order, basically, with the coronavirus and with lockdowns progressing. I think as we go on, in the next coming weeks, some states are beginning to open. We've not gotten guidance from Governor Brown on when Oregon is going to open, or Governor Inslee about Washington. I don't know when they're going to actually start reopening non-essential services and non-essential businesses. I do know that this week I've seen more traffic on the roads than I have in the past. So that to me means I think some people are going out and cautiously braving the world out there. One of the things that I've been doing with a lot of my clients as we kind of navigate this coronavirus pandemic and what it's done with the markets is reevaluating your plan. And I've gotten a lot of questions from folks when they call in and they say, hey, how's my account doing? What's this doing to our plan? How is this affecting our retirement plans? And the big thing is they have a plan to refer to. We've talked about a plan, and you think about it, what's a retirement plan really, or a work optional plan really? Well, it's a plan to replace your income once you get to that point where you want to stop working, right? And a certain portion of that is Social Security, and a certain part of that is your retirement plan, or what we call a retirement plan, which is your 401k, your 403b, your TSP, or your IRA. And that's not really a plan. A lot of people refer to those as my retirement plan at work. My retirement plan at work has this great plan, that could be great that your plan, quote unquote, that your 401k option there at work is there. And it's awesome that they're contributing money for you, that you're getting your matching dollars, or that you're getting, those profit sharing dollars. But it's really not a plan. And a lot of people are finding they woke up and looked at their 401k statement at the end of March. They're looking at their 401k statement now, or if you're locked at home, like a lot of people are, maybe you're on the computer watching it daily, which is just, that's number one recommendation, folks. If you're watching the market daily, that's a recipe for you to get an ulcer, for you to, just stress yourself out beyond belief, because, it's kind of a roller coaster, and just no matter way you look at it, it's a roller coaster. And your investments, unless you're buying the S&P 500 index fund, or you're using an ETF like SPY or Vanguard's, S&P 500 index fund. I don't know the fund ticker off the top of my head. You're not actually tracking what the market is doing. You're not buying the market. You're investing in the stock market, and you may have some of those stocks, but the S&P 500 has been driven as it ripped off the bottom over the last couple of weeks and had the most, the best month in, something like 40 years, the third best month, since World War II. But that was driven primarily by four big stocks, right? And so if you're looking at the S&P 500 and comparing yourself to the S&P 500, you better have those four stocks. You've probably heard them called FANG stocks, but they are specifically driving the market upward, because when they move, and they've moved big, they've ripped it off, they've ripped the S&P 500 from the bottom. But then the thing about it is, if you're in your 401k fund, your IRA fund, you're looking at the mutual funds that you hold in there, or the ETFs, they're not tracking exactly the S&P 500. If you're in a managed account, somewhat like we use with our clients, or a lot of folks are working with a financial advisor and you're in a managed account, unless you're tracking those 500 stocks in the S&P 500, you shouldn't be measuring yourself against the S&P 500. And what I like to tell people in planning, when we do planning for our clients, and what I like to say about the reason that a investment plan or a retirement plan or college savings plan, an estate plan, you have a plan and you're competing against yourself, folks. And the idea is you're not competing against the overall market, because if you want to compare yourself to that, you're always going to be sad, because you can't actually invest in the index, right? You have to invest in something that tracks the index, and it's always going to trail the index by a couple of basis points, whatever the cost of the fund is. But if you're comparing yourself to the S&P 500, you're going to be disappointed unless you're actually buying the index. And if you want those S&P returns, that's great. You better be prepared for the S&P down movements, right? So the S&P from the peak in February, late February, down to the trough, or what we call the bottom, in late March, over about a month, went down 34%. The Dow was down almost 37%. So that's an incredibly big swing down if you're tracking the S&P 500. That's for all those folks that were saying in 2019, they're saying, I'm getting, 29, 30%, they're bragging to you about how well they did in their 401k how well they did in their IRA. You probably haven't heard from them a whole lot in the last few weeks, right? Or maybe you've heard from them when the market's going straight up, how well they're doing. Hey, my portfolio is up 30% from the bottom. And that's awesome if you're up 30% from the bottom. But where was the bottom for you, right? So because if you think about, folks, the math that a lot of people don't do when talking about the market and market investments is they only talk about the upside. I got 30% up. But where did you start? Because if you were in the S&P 500 and you had $100,000 and you invested it on February 19th and it ripped down 34%, right now you're down to $66,000. So you went all the way from $100,000 down to $66,000, and now it rips up 30%, right? Because the markets come back and they tell you, man, you're talking to your neighbor down the street and she says she's a conservative investor, but she really got 30% since the market bottomed. First of all, she's not a conservative investor, but she rips 30% from the bottom and you were at $64,000 like we just talked about, right? So now 30% is 6.4 times 3, right? So that's you're getting $19,200, right? On that money on the $63,000. So now you went from $64,000. Now you're at $93,000. So you're actually net negative a 7% movement, right? The math that people don't do is it's about how much are you keeping, right? The concern is not what return am I going to get on my money, but the return of my money, right? I think that's Mark Twain quote, or I think maybe it came from somebody else. But I think Mark Twain said it. But the idea is you need to keep that money when you get to retirement, because a lot of folks have had a rude awakening when they were planning on retiring in 2020. So they say, I'm going to retire in 2020 and I'm going to turn on my income from that, because like we talked about, what is retirement? You have to replace your income. So if you're going to pull, let's say 5%, and it's down 36%, you're actually now down 41%, and you have that much more that you have to get to even get back to even, let alone have a sustainable retirement. So now is the time, as the market has come rallying back, although we did lose our weekly gains this week, so this week was actually a negative week, but before that it had come rallying back. Analyze where you are and how much risk you're taking. Are you getting ready to retire? Can you sustain another drawdown like we had here in March? And it may happen, it may not. My crystal ball has been broken for quite a while. One of the big things that I inherited from Chuck when I stepped in when he retired this year is a crystal ball that doesn't work. Right? We like to say we have a prediction and this is what we think is going to happen. And a lot of folks ask me what I think is going to happen. I think, personally, folks, I think that we're going to go back down. Maybe not to the lows of March, but I think it's going to take a long time to climb back out. Now, I could be wrong, right? Anything is possible. We could open the states back up. The economy could come roaring back. I don't think that that's going to happen right away. I think it's going to take months, if not years, to dig our way back out of this hole that this virus has put us in, let alone if we have a resurgence of it here in the fall or the winter, or if people aren't going to movie theaters and to restaurants and shopping at malls because they're afraid of it. But let's say we start to come back and the economy does start come ripping back. Maybe I'm wrong and we miss out on some of the upside, but when I'm protecting my clients' money, when we're looking at making sure that we don't go down as far as the market does, that helps you feel more comfortable as you move through retirement. Because the worst thing that's happened, and the worst thing that happened to people in 2008 and people or 2001 and 2002, the last two big bear markets that we've had, was people retire right before the market craters, and then they start to worry about where that income is going to come from. And you have to have a plan, right? And the biggest thing is you have to have a plan for where the income is going to come from in good markets and in bad. Too many people, folks, have planned their retirement and they've talked to their advisor, and I'm not saying their advisor's not trying to do a good job. or they talk to their 401k provider, and this 401k statement says, hey, look, this is the income that I could have if I retired. But the problem is that's based on the false assumption that the market's going to continue doing what it's done. We've had this run, this epic run up until this year that was the best that we've ever seen, and a lot of people got this fear of missing out. A lot of people got, hey, I need to get the best returns that I can get, and I can live, you know, I can retire early, and I can live off this money really easy. And the hard part is, if you haven't created an income plan, something that's sustainable, something that has worked time and again, then you can really set yourself up for some trouble. Now, what we do for radio listeners, in case people are just tuning in, is we'll analyze that for you. Give my office a call, 503-253-3000, or drop me an email, bo@pfgwm.com, and we'll analyze that for you, tell you, here's what we think, here's how sustainable it is, and here's how much income you can expect to sustainably keep throughout retirement. And if that works, if that looks great, then worst case is you've had a free second opinion. But if I see some holes, if my team sees some places where maybe we could fix those gaps, where we could close those, we could give you some more peace of mind in retirement, we're going to tell you that. And if that's something that you like, you can take it with you or you can work with us on it. We're happy to get that information out there, folks. The idea is you've been sitting around now stuck at home. Maybe you've been thinking about what's going to happen. Maybe I want to retire early. Give our office a call. Let us run that scenario for you. Let us stress test it. Let's talk about the taxes that you're paying. Let's talk about the fees that you're paying on those accounts. Let's talk about that orphaned 401k that's back at the job you had when you were 25 and you don't even have eyes on it. Did that account drop 35, 40% in March? Because if it did, were you prepared for what that means for your long-term planning? If not, call us. We're happy to have the conversation. I'm happy to do it digitally. We can do it over video conference. I know that we're opening up here in a couple of weeks, and I'm happy to sit down face-to-face. We'll have it sanitized, wear masks. We'll be safe over all the things. Give us a call, 503-253-3000. Again, there's no obligation, you know, other words, free. You know, we like to do this to get that information out there. So I'm going to take a break with that, and we'll be back with Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
And welcome back to Investing Simplified. If you're just now joining us, thanks for joining us. Thanks for sticking with us. If you've been here the whole time listening to me ramble on, as I mentioned in the open today, I'm going to be having Taylor Cattell on next week to answer your estate planning questions. So if you have those questions, we're going to have her on for at least a segment if we get enough questions. She has enough to say. Maybe it'll be a couple of segments. So give us a call, 503-253-3000, or leave it on investingsimplifiedradio.com on the chat room, or send me an email to askbo, that's A-S-K-B-O, at pfgwm.com. Be happy to cover those. We have a lot of things we can talk about, she and I, but I have been getting some questions and some really good questions that have come in from listeners about a couple of things. One big one that's come up is about checking for your stimulus checks. So if you have a stimulus check coming, who qualifies for it? And my understanding is that you qualify for it based on your adjusted gross income from 2018 or 2019 if you have already filed your taxes. If you're a married couple, if you have less than $150,000 of adjusted gross income, you qualify for the full stimulus benefit. Now, that applies to people who do not file tax returns but who just get Social Security. Now, if you want to check the validity of your stimulus or where it is, you can go to the IRS website. They have a site that's Get My Stimulus or Check My Payment. I just Google Get My Stimulus Now, and then it comes up with the IRS tracking site. Now, you have to click OK that, hey, this is only for you to check. This is not for someone else to check. You have to be able to give your Social Security number, your date of birth, and your street address. Now, a lot of people have said, hey, we tried that, and it came up with the error message, which I got when I was checking to see what the site was like. The error message said, we don't have enough information at this time to see if you qualify. Now, what they didn't explain in the FAQs, and surprise, surprise, the government didn't explain something. Bureaucracy didn't work. Oh, my goodness. I'm floored. But what they didn't explain was that a lot of people had not been loaded into this system. And that's particularly true if you did not receive a refund in the last couple of years. If you either owed taxes or if you didn't file a tax return, all you've been getting is Social Security, you may not have been in the system yet. They have since updated it. I think it was last week they spent time updating it. And everyone that I've talked to that had that same issue, I had them re-log in, put in their information, and they're able to check the status of their stimulus check. Now, if you, like myself, didn't end up getting a refund, because I don't like loaning the money to the government for zero interest, but if you ended up owing a little bit of taxes, or if you unfortunately owed a lot of taxes, then you will have to put in your direct deposit number for the stimulus. And so that's when you look at, okay, here's the stimulus, here's the direct deposit, and then it's going to take that much longer for it to process. But I got to tell you, I have heard stories, I have talked to people anecdotally, that they've already gotten their paper checks, which the IRS and Treasury was warning would take quite a while. So they are sending out that stimulus money if you qualify for it based on your adjusted gross income. But you can just Google, it's really easy Googling, get my stimulus payment. If you want the actual website, send me an email. I can shoot you a link to the website. So send me an email to bo@pfgwm.com. I'm happy to shoot you the hyperlink to get to that website. The other question that people have asked is if the, I had one listener called in asking about his daughter who has not filed a tax return in quite a while. So if that's the case, if you have not filed a tax return because maybe you were attending school or your kids were attending school or your grandkids and they're wondering about it, have them go to that IRS Get My Payment website to check it out, because you should get that stimulus check. In terms of if you qualify, if you have not earned any income over the last, if you've never filed a tax return ever, I don't know the answer to that, but I am fairly certain it's for everyone that had adjusted gross income of less than $150,000 as a married couple or less than $75,000 as an individual. Now you say, well, that's great, but I made $152,000, me and my wife and I did together. You qualify for a reduced benefit as long as you guys made less than $200,000 and combined adjusted gross income. You also get $500 for every child. And the idea behind the stimulus check, folks, is that you put it back into work, into the economy. That's the whole point of it, is that you get it back to work and go spend it. So that's where I kind of worry about how people are going to spend it, because a lot of people are going to spend it on debt. A lot of people are going to spend it on mortgage payments, right? And that's not a bad thing, I think. But there, I think it's really not driving the revenue for the country that Treasury and the IRS thought it was going to. So the other question that I've had, and I had a couple people kind of ask, there's some tips and tricks for college students, right? So I've had a couple people that have been planning on college, and we've talked through the ideas and talked through how they're applying for financial aid. But there was a study that was done, a poll through the country that was done this week that actually said that 52% of the students polled, their high school seniors that they polled, and 52% of them had at least one parent that either was furloughed or lost their job due to the coronavirus pandemic. Now, here's the thing. Financial aid is based for, financial aid for this academic year, for this fall 2020, is based off 2018 income, right? So it's not based off 2019 income, especially for those people that haven't filed their taxes. So if you are the parent of a high school senior who is planning on applying for financial aid and you have experienced some financial duress from the coronavirus, or you've lost your job or been furloughed, or if you are a grandparent, or if you're a high school senior that is tuning into the show, thank you for listening, Then make sure that you, there's a couple of tips. Make sure you call your financial aid office, right? Make sure you inform them that your situation has changed. Make sure that you send an email or there's an official appeal form. Ask them about it, because if you've already gotten your financial aid decision for 2020 and it came out before, because you did your FAFSA and it came out before 2019 and, you know, all these things, but your situation has changed, make sure you're reaching out to the school, contacting them about it. And make sure that you have documentation. Show the letter of furlough. Show the pay stubs. Get all that stuff together so that you can go in there armed with the ability to get that financial aid that you need. Because the thing that's going to be really hard for a lot of kids that are going to college this fall, or a lot of kids that are in college and rely on that financial aid, if their expected family contribution is higher than their family is actually making, they may have some trouble affording college. So make sure that you're reaching out to the financial aid office, or you're having that student reach out. So I know that there aren't a whole lot of students that are necessarily listening, but a lot of listeners have kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews that are in that situation. So make sure that they are aware that there is relief, there's help for them to be able to afford college, because that's a, you know, I know that's a really big issue and a lot of people have wondered about it. So the other question that I get a lot, and you know, it's always funny that people have been asking when people have reached this, where do I think the market goes from here? And I talked about that a little bit earlier, but just to reiterate, I think that the market has some more downward movement to go. I don't know if that's tomorrow. I don't know if that's, you know, next week. I don't know if that's next month, but I think that we have significant room below us that we need to fill back in. And if you think the same way, maybe it's time to reevaluate where your portfolio is. Now, if you think the market's going to rip higher, you should still reevaluate where your portfolio is, right? So give me a call. If you could, you know, lock in some of those gains that we've made back, if you've made it back to even and now, okay, we're taking a breath, and you don't want to go through what we just went through a couple of months ago, we have strategies that combat that, right? We have strategies that we employ for our clients, that we employ as part of our portfolio, because we look holistically, folks. That's the biggest thing. When you work with a fiduciary advisor, they should be looking holistically. That's what we look at Price Financial Group. We look at your whole picture, and that includes everything. That includes your long-term debt. That includes your estate planning, your tax planning. That includes your risk budgeting. That includes your fee budgeting. That includes anything and everything under the sun that involves a dollar sign in your life. And we make sure that we do that analysis based on you and based on where you're trying to get to, right? So if we can give you that picture and we can take some of that stress off your life, because folks, that's the biggest thing, right? The market is stressful. Investing in the market is stressful. The biggest thing that you can do is take that stress off so you don't have to worry about it. If you can get a plan together that helps you do that, that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, still have growth in your portfolio. We have growth portfolios. It doesn't mean you can't still have risk adverse portfolios. There's a lot of different ways to manage the money and manage the stock market exposure. The biggest portion of it is to make sure that it fits your plan. Okay, so we want to make sure that we fit your plan going forward and you're able to get to where you want to go. You're able to do it without as much, you know, volatility or fluctuation in your portfolio, in your life. The other thing people have asked is, what are tips to navigate this continued volatility that I see? And I'm going to talk about those in the last segment, because there are several, and I'll give you three of them, three really good ones that I think work really, really well to help people navigate through the volatility, because volatility isn't necessarily bad either, right? So when people say, well, volatility's gone, right, because the market's just going up. Well, we had a historically low volatility up until this last couple of months. And volatility means fluctuations either up or down. And they can be equally stressful. So we want to make sure that we are analyzing that for you, analyzing what that looks like for you, and making sure that you're on the same page. Now, if you have an advisor that you're working with, give them a call. Ask them to sit down virtually, because I know a lot of people aren't meeting in person, but say, hey, can we review my plan? Can we review where I'm at in relation to where I should be or where I need to be? Because what's your expectation? Is your expectation to be able to retire and make $10,000 a month in retirement? If that's so, and that's, I'm not saying that like it shouldn't be, because maybe that's what you're making now. right? If you need to be making $10,000 a month, is your plan prepared for that? And make sure that your plan is prepared to weather what's going to come, because we're going to go back to this, I think, at least in the near future, but we're going to have these big swings in volatility, these big swings in the market, and you need to have a plan that addresses all of that. So when we come back, I'm going to finish out with the three tips for weathering market volatility, three things that you can take with you and take back to your planner, take back to your wife, take back to your husband. Say, these are the things we need to be doing. If you want a review, a comprehensive complimentary review of your situation and what's been going on with you and your investments and your planning, give our office a call, 503-253-3000. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Legal matters are never easy, but they are especially difficult when they involve the most important people and aspects of your life. This is Taylor Cattell, founding partner of KG Law Group. It's important to have an attorney who cares about your unique circumstances and knows how to get the outcome that is best for you. At KG Law Group, we specialize in estate planning and family law, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and divorce. At KG Law Group, we provide both expertise and compassion as we guide you through the complex legal landscape. We balance knowledge of the law with exemplary client service. Whether you're reacting to a crisis or planning for the future, we are here to help. If you need legal advice, give us a call today and schedule a consultation at 503-878-8948. That's 878-8948. Or visit us online at kglawgroup.com. That's kglawgroup.com, serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. KG Law Group, your family, your legacy.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for your questions. I really appreciate it. I am looking forward to when we can get back out seeing each other, where we can sit down and go over those situations together, when we can go over your situation in person. If you've been having a question, if you've been thinking about retirement, and you're not sure when to pull the trigger, give our office a call and we can give you that review. We can tell you when retirement makes sense, when leaving work makes sense, and what kind of income you can expect in retirement, and what kind of tax, you know, bill you'll expect to have to pay, both at retirement and when you pass away or at the end of retirement, right? When I was talking before that this volatile market and three tips I think are really good for navigating the volatile market, the number one is to have a plan. And I know that I keep coming back to it and I keep going over it, but I'm going to keep, you know, just dogging away at it until people all listen, right? You need to have a plan, whether that's a retirement plan, a work optional plan, an income plan, whatever it is, it needs to have a plan. You need to have a strategy and you need to stick with it, right? So that doesn't mean you jump horses midway through, that you change to something else. I know that I keep saying that we will analyze your risk budget, see where you are. Rebalancing is not changing your plan. Rebalancing is maybe updating your plan. But if you change a plan, if you have a long-term investment plan that is, I'm going to buy the S&P 500 and hold on, that's not a bad plan for you, perhaps. It can really apply as long as you're sticking with the long-term plan. Because if what worked last year isn't going to work this year, and what works this year isn't going to work next year, it's all the latest and greatest thing. You'll have a lot of advisors that come out and selling, this is how well we did. This is how well we did last year. Look at how we navigated this, but it's not going to be the same, right? And so that's a quick sale method of getting people to come in and sign up, right? Those advisors, especially if they're at the bank channel right now, they're hurting for revenue, right? Because people can't go into the bank. If they're at a broker-dealer or a wirehouse, that wirehouse is hurting for money. They need to generate revenue by selling something for a commission. Hey, sell a plan. Sell this to come in for a commission. So whatever your plan is, just because it doesn't fit with what we do or how we manage our clients' plans, as long as it's true to you, stick with that plan. Stick with that long-term strategy. I think, and I'm a little biased, but I think that our plan is the best type of plan because it's an all-weather portfolio plan. It's an all-weather retirement plan to make sure that you have a sustainable retirement income, right? That you can live through retirement and live the way that you want to live without having to sacrifice, right? You've saved and scrimped and a lot of times gone without to put those funds in your IRA, in your 401k, in your 403b, the TSP that they make you put in if you're a government employee. You've worked really hard to save that money up. So why have to, you know, negatively affect your lifestyle because the market didn't go the way that you had planned, right? So that's the number one. Number one key is have a plan, have a long-term strategy, whether that's a strategy like ours or a strategy like your current planner or the strategy that you've set up yourself. Because a lot of folks that I talk to have a plan, and as long as you're sticking to that plan that you've set up with Fidelity or with Schwab or with wherever you're managing your own investments, that's great. That's awesome. That means that you are well set and you're ready to go. So have a plan and a strategy that you can stick to rather than trying to change horses midway through. So number two that we like to have in our plan, but it's I think it's applicable to everyone, is right now evaluate where's your emergency savings at. Okay, you need to have savings for emergencies. That's a way to weather a down market, a way to weather a volatile market, is you don't need, you really don't want to be pulling from your investments when they're down if you can help it. And if you have an emergency happen, which this global pandemic has kind of shown that emergencies can happen when we least expect it, but if you have an emergency happen, you need to have funds in a liquid, safe account. And generally speaking, that's the bank. And unfortunately, it's safely losing money, right? Because inflation, you're not earning anything in the bank. Interest rates are so low. But you know what, folks? You're also not losing anything. I like to recommend folks have 3 to 6 months worth of their expenses in that cash fund or cash equivalent, right? You know, money market fund at the bank or the credit union if it earns you a little bit of interest. A savings account might earn you a little bit more interest because you're not doing, you know, transactions and stuff. But have that money set aside because we want to make sure that if something happens, if you have an emergency, you're not pulling from the dollars that we have invested because we know no matter what your investment is, that's risk money, right? We look at it from a perspective of you have money that's at risk, you have money that's not at risk but not earning anything, and money that can earn stuff but not take a risk. And that's the third point is some portion of your portfolio, I truly believe, needs to be in a position where it can earn money, it can earn returns, and a lot of times participate in market-like returns but won't go down when the market goes down. Now, that used to be CDs, right? That used to be you could put it in a CD, you have a long-term savings vehicle, it earns you really good interest, and then it doesn't, you know, lose money. They do have products called market-linked CDs, which can operate kind of like that. A lot of times those have risk, though. People say, well, Bo, you know, I have a very conservative portfolio. My portfolio is a lot of bonds, right? I own bonds. You guys heard that? Bonds are safe, and they are safer than stocks. But they're actually risk. They actually can lose value. And if you, I don't know if people follow this, but the Barclays Aggregate, which is generally speaking used as a bellwether for the overall bond market, and you know you can measure it with AGG, or which is iShares ETF that tracks the Barclays Aggregate, or SPAB, which is the State Street, the spider that tracks the Barclays Aggregate. But the idea is that's the general, you know, that's the aggregate bond index, so how the bond market is doing in the United States. And back in March, that went down 7 standard deviations in a day. So the more fluctuation, more volatility than it has ever seen in just a couple of days. So bonds can lose money. People don't realize that. If you're owning individual bonds, now this is different because the pushback is if you own individual bonds, you're correct. They don't lose money unless you sell them, right? But if you own bonds as an asset class, particularly in your 401k, that can still lose money, folks. So that's still a risk asset. It's a lower risk asset than owning, you know, Apple stock, conceivably, but it's not a non-risk asset. And so some portion of your portfolio needs to be in something, and there are vehicles out there, a lot of times they're offered by insurance companies, but something that can move up, can participate sometimes materially in the market upside. You could still earn 3-5% a year, you know, average in those kind of products, but you don't lose any money. So, you know, think about, we talked about that situation before. Okay, so if you're only getting half of what the S&P does, but you don't lose anything. We do $100,000 investments, folks. Same thing, right? $100,000 February 19th. We put it in the market. My S&P investment went down 35%. And then it ripped back up 30%. People say, well, that's great, right? We just talked about that. What if you had something that did not go down and only ripped up? right? If something that did not go down, it starts from a higher level, particularly if it went down that much less, you could earn half. You could earn a third of what the market does on the upside and still come out ahead. So if you knew that there was an opportunity to invest in that, wouldn't you want to do it? Wouldn't you want to invest in it sometimes? So if you want to explore that, if you want to explore what that means and whether it fits what your situation is, give my office a call, 503-253-3000. The key is there, folks, we've employed these strategies through bull markets, through bear markets. Over time, if you don't have risk in your portfolio, but you have upside potential, you're going to outperform. Almost all of the time. Not all the time, because sometimes it depends on the time period, right? Everyone knows statistics can be manipulated to say whatever you want, right? So I could show you a time period where, you know, CDs outperform the market just because you could pick a time, right? You could pick a time, you know, 1999 to 2009, where the overall S&P 500 was actually negative. But if you have something, some portion, we truly believe for all of our clients and for everyone out there, you should have some portion of your portfolio, not all of it, you shouldn't have all your eggs in one basket ever, but some portion of your portfolio that's in that safe bucket, right? Something that safely earns money. It doesn't mean you can't go get it, doesn't mean it's not liquid and available, but there are, you know, takeaways, there are give ups that you have to have, but a lot of times you can make those things work multiple ways for you too. Right, you can make those kind of products work multiple ways. The other thing, and I talked about it last week, but I had a conversation about it with a client this week because he was really feeling his mortality just because he's in that high-risk age group and the coronavirus is out there. People are dying, right? So the big thing you want to check in your personal portfolio, this isn't one of my three things. I went over that, right? The three you know, tips for weathering market volatility. One, have a plan. Have a strategy that's a long-term focused strategy, not focused on the next 3 weeks, but focused on the next 20 years. Have that strategy and stick with it. Have your emergency fund. Make sure you have your emergency fund, and that's, you know, applicable to you. I like 3 to 6 months of expenses, right? And then have some portion of your portfolio. Doesn't mean it's all of it. Doesn't mean it's half of it. Doesn't mean it's specific to you. But some portion of your portfolio that is not at risk when we have this market volatility, especially if you're getting close to retirement or you're in retirement, right? Because you don't have 25, 30 years to let it grow back. But the one thing that people have been, you know, talking a lot about, not one thing, I keep saying that, one thing that people have been talking about with this coronavirus and with the mortality that they're feeling like, you know, it's rapidly approaching them, is make sure that you update your beneficiaries. Okay. So if you have an old 401k left behind somewhere, if you have a 401k or a 403b now, if you have a TSP, an IRA, if you have life insurance, make sure you are updating those beneficiaries. Make sure you're reviewing your estate plan. You can give Taylor's office a call. She meets with clients, goes over their estate plans, reviews them. Call your estate attorney if you already have one. Call them and just do a review. Make sure we're on track, right? It's a good time to review that. Make sure that everything's in place. And I talked about this last week, and I'll talk about it again. Make sure that your spouse or your heirs, whichever it is, whether you're married or not, or the people that you're leaving the money behind to, make sure they know where all that stuff is. Because if something happens to you, heaven forbid you contract the virus, you are incapacitated, or whether or not it's the coronavirus, anything else, right? Like, you know, we could be stepping off a curb and get hit by a bus tomorrow. You want to make sure that you are set up so that your wishes are followed and that everybody knows and will be able to get through that as easy as possible. As you're doing that, as you're reviewing those situations, if you'd like to have a second pair of eyes, if you'd like to have a complimentary look at our office, I'm happy to give that to you. I'm happy to talk to you about what that looks like. I'll tell you enough to be dangerous, right? I'll be referring you to Kevin or to Taylor, probably, if we're talking about taxes or if we're talking about estate planning particularly. But we can go over what you have laid out and make sure that you're properly set up, whether that's insurance, whether that's estate planning, whether that's your emergency fund, whether that's your portfolio. Price Financial Group is here for you guys, okay? We're hopefully going to be able to meet in person coming up soon, but we can do virtual meetings right now. If you need to only meet in person, we can meet behind masks and we can meet You know, 6 feet away from each other, that's totally fine. Give our office a call, 503-253-3000, or drop me an email at bo@pfgwm.com. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Thanks for listening. Like I said, tune in next week. Taylor Cattell is going to be on with me. Hopefully, Kevin Stege will be on soon as well. God bless you all. Stay safe out there.
Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.